My guest at this time is Virginia Congressman Dave Brad, a Republican representing the Old Dominion 7th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Freedom Caucus and the House Budget Committee, which spent much of Thursday dealing with the American Health Care Act. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, great to be on again. Thank you.
What's the mood of the Budget Committee on this bill?
Well, the Budget Committee went forward with it. But some of the guys are getting promises that we're going to have some fixes and some fairly significant fixes going forward.
What kind of fixes?
Well, the biggest is Trump wants shopping across state lines, and that's not allowed in the current bill. But the major reason he wants that is because he wants to make sure that health insurance becomes affordable again. The rates over the past year going up 25%. And then our leadership bill has prices going down 10% after 3 years. And so we got price increases coming. We got to make sure that does not happen. And so the biggest way you can prevent that is to get at the insurance regulations. Right now there's these essential health benefits for everyone. So, for example, a young person can't go out and buy a high deductible cheap plan when they're young. And you kind of have this overall federal mandate system still in place. And this morning, the National Journal, the D.C. people up here will see that Hill publication. But both conservative and liberal think tanks and health experts agreed that the current House bill maintains the essential structure of Obamacare. And it's the front page article, right? We keep the individual exchanges, you keep the individual market, and you keep the insurance regs. And so I don't know how anyone expects the price of health care to go down when you're maintaining the basic structure that Obamacare has, and prices are going up 25% a year, and that's unsustainable. So that's the big thing we have to fix. And we all want Trump to be successful. And so that's for him to be successful, we have to make those changes, or in a few years we'll be in another death spiral due to the structure.
How open do you think the amendment process will be on this bill, and what amendments could actually salvage it from your perspective?
Well, I think this is a biggie. Mark Meadows and Ted Cruz co-authored a piece about a day ago. I think it's in the Wall Street Journal. But that piece outlines probably the way forward that can get us there. The amendment process is pretty burdensome. But the leadership's talking about a manager's amendment, et cetera. That probably is coming from White House, who wants to make sure we get something done in the next few weeks. And so hopefully we can pull it all together. Another way of saying what I'm saying is leadership has bucket two, which they want Tom Price to pursue, which is the insurance regulation piece, right? And he's got a lot of latitude as secretary to do that. And the problem there is that it's not permanent. It will have this kind of bumper pool every 4 years. When you switch administrations, you change the whole health care for the country. And so right now we want that bucket number two that Price is going to take care of, put into the bill itself. And I think if leadership goes forward with that and pushes it over to the Senate, that'll get a lot of people to yes. And so that could be the sweet spot.
A lot of people who support the bill as it exists right now say those sorts of things can't be added to this bill if you want to address it through reconciliation, the open of the markets across state lines, as well as dealing with the regulations. Those have to be separate. The Democrats, of course, got them in all in one big bill through reconciliation. So how is that debate likely to shake out?
I can tell you're a highly intelligent person, because that was the next question. And so you're right on the money. And that's a bunch of baloney, right? The Senate has become a kind of a high noon tea society over there, and they're not taking tough votes. And so they don't want this bill to come over in the first place. So I think they're using that as a way to duck, and even our side uses that as a way to duck from pushing through what we have to get through to maintain our promise, a repeal and replacement, right? We promised repeal 6 years ago, and then it turned into we're going to repeal and replace with a free market system. And now it's repeal and replace with the essential structure of Obamacare. And that the base is not happy back home. And so you've got Ted Cruz, a Harvard scholar of the highest caliber, and many others saying there's no problem. The criterion for reconciliation is that any agenda item have a budgetary impact, and that's it. So you put Vice President Mike Pence in the chair over there on the Senate side. You ask the parliamentarian for their view. If it's not favorable, you say, thank you very much for your view, and now let's have a vote. And I think it is that simple, and I'm not exaggerating. And so that it's just a matter of political will. Does our team really want to get this thing passed? If you do, you got to do this, overcome this crazy parliamentary rule obstacle that's in our way. And it would be in our interest to do that, because I think to get tax reform through, and let me repeat that, to get tax reform through, or to get even the bill we have in front of us through, we're going to eventually have to do that anyways. So let's go find out, roll the TV cameras in there, and let's put that live in front of the American people so they can see the process of their own government at work for them. And I think we're going to have a big win.
Talking with Virginia Congressman Dave Bratt. Congressman, you mentioned a piece by Ted Cruz in the Wall Street Journal. There's an editorial piece in the Wall Street Journal that says this is kind of turning into a Republican circular firing squad. And if Republicans don't get this right, that why should the American people trust them again? Is that a fair assessment, given what we're seeing in the fight over what should be in this bill?
Well, there's a little bit of squabbling, and everybody, you know, wants to protect their own seat and do what you got to do. But for me, the truth is in the promises we made for 6 years. We said we're going to repeal and replace. So the people right now that are arguing for, you know, Medicaid expansion or for more refundable tax credits or more federal government intrusion, I think they're on the wrong side of our promise, right? And so the people that are fighting for repeal, I think, have it right. That's what we promised the American people. And the average person back home, when you talk about repeal of Obamacare, they just mean they want to go back to the good old days where you got to see your doctor and you could go buy the insurance policy of your choice. And right now, even the cheapest plans are out of reach for half the population. And I'm not exaggerating, right? We got upper middle class families that are very successful and they're having a hard time affording health care. Everybody knows. And if you're running a small business, good luck. Right. So it's for real. And Obamacare was designed, right? The insurance guys walked to the White House looking at their shoes with primarily coverage in mind and nothing on price reduction. And now you're seeing the result. We're in a death spiral 8 years later, according to Humana and Aetna, the CEO. And we can't allow that same logic or we're going to own a death spiral in about 2 or 3 years. So for me, as an economist, it's fairly simple. Either you lower the price of this thing so that people can afford it, or else you're going to pay the price politically.
A couple of quick questions on the bigger picture. I remember from a previous conversation that you said you would find it very difficult to support any sort of health care replacement bill unless tax reform was tackled first. It's not being tackled first. What's your reaction to that strategy?
Yeah, on the budget, on the health care reform or the budget policy. I usually link the budget moves and the cost increase, usually infrastructure and those kind of things, to tax reform. And so on the health care side, I think we actually end up reducing the deficit a little bit there. So that's not a killer right now, but the killer is just we're passing on increasing costs to the consumer. And so, but you're right. I tax reform is absolutely essential. And it scored Larry Lindsey from Harvard, who did the Reagan tax cuts, expects 4% GDP growth, which isn't wildly utopian, and 8% wage growth, which is, you know, would be miraculous. We've had 30 years of wage stagnation. And so that, if we don't get that done, then you can't go forward with a lot of, you know, the military buildup and infrastructure if you don't have the growth to pay for it.
And finally, a lot of folks saying the Trump agenda rises or falls based on whether something gets done on the health care front. Do you see it that way?
Well, yeah, the momentum is big. We've got to maintain momentum, so that's fair. But everybody's getting melodramatic, right? I mean, we can go back to the key committees if we don't have the votes. And I don't think we're even close to having the votes. And so Trump will come in and negotiate and put his foot down on a system that he wants. He wants competition across state lines and to reduce the price for everybody so it's affordable. And we'll get it done. We can get it done in a month or two. It'll be Seinfeld delivered if we get at these insurance regulations.
If this bill fails and leadership won't go with a straight repeal, what do you think could pass?
I don't know, because that, and I'm glad you brought it up, right? Only Republicans in the House a year ago, it's called the 2015 repeal. We all voted for a repeal. And all the Senate, maybe less one, voted for a full repeal, the 2015. So that's why that has to be the baseline, right? We all agreed to repeal Obamacare because we all promised that for 6-7 years in a row. And so then you could debate the replace part, and we're getting warm on that, right? Leadership's working around the clock. They're all getting input now, and Trump's getting input. And so we can put that together brick by brick. But the key is you got to start off with a glue and repeal. That was the promise, and then move forward from that and build a scaffolding up from there. You want to start with free markets and then add the safety net. You don't want to start with socialism and then promise free markets later. That never happens.
Congressman, we'll call time there. Thanks very much, as always, for your time.
Hey, pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt represents his state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Freedom Caucus and the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.